Blog Talk Radio.
Time, y'all. Time to open up your mind. Time to raise up your voice. Time to be entertained, enlightened, and learn more about what you already know. Showtime. We're on the online happy hour. For those of you who don't know, this show is all of us. On the inside. BlogTalkRadio.com/How Was Your Weekend was with the Z. I want to say hello and welcome to the audience again tonight. Happy New Year to you. We're here in 2011, and it couldn't feel any better than this right now, ladies and gentlemen. Those who have heard this show before, dating back to the days of 2010, and now we're about to begin a new chapter, my name is Andy Brown, and I live vicariously through you. I'm co-hosted with Mr. Ricky Williams. He's out on the town of the country doing his traveling thing for his speaking engagements. But keep in mind, the show is going to enlighten you and give you a lot of positive feedback, a lot of encouraging words, a lot of things that make us wonder, you know what, it's really time to step my game up. I want to welcome each one of you tonight, callers, listeners, bloggers. Tune in. Because we're broadcasting live at the Dallas-Fort Worth area each and every Wednesday night, 8 o'clock Central Time. Because of you, callers, bloggers, listeners, viewers, and watchers, we'll get better, better, better. They will be no different. Welcome you all today. It's Wednesday, January the 5th, fifth day of the year. Happy New Year to everybody. Big shout-outs. I want to just say hello and a big thank you to all that supported the show in 2010, people in the Blog Talk Radio chat room, folks that have called in on the fantastic number of 666-727-3279, all of our wonderful special guest hosts, and all of our viewers here on Justin TV as well. I want to say thank you to the fam and welcome to a wonderful show tonight. Also, we did a small survey last year, rounding out the end of the year, to get feedback on your views of what you thought the show was really going to be doing. And for all of you all who chimed in and gave your opinion, let me say thank you for giving that feedback. Trust me, we are listening to you. Your special gift will be coming from me this week, so keep your emails open, voicemails open for your cell phones, in and be ready, because my special way of saying thank you is going to come in that form. So I want to post something in the chat room later on. The feedback that you can get from us, follow us at howwasyourweekend.com, always spelled was with a Z. Follow us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. Even after the show is over tonight, I want you to go to our Facebook page, write a review and tell you what you thought about the show. Tell us your likes, tell us your dislikes, so we'll know just what's going on. I'm here to help, baby. The show is about you. The show is for you, because we live vicariously, each and every one of us. And I'm so excited tonight. Starting off the new year, I wanted to get into the groove, make things right for our listeners, make things right for our callers. I want to say a happy new year, start a new career, off in a positive light. Going to take time to think about what's been going on with the economy. Job market has been a little down. Money's been a little tight. Christmas hurt a lot of people. Holidays, Kwanzaa, a lot of different things around the end of the year. maybe got backed up on some of your bills. Now you're looking for change. You want to go in the right direction, not only get your finances in order, but to get your career path on the right path that's going to be good for you. A lot of people said 2011 was going to be their year, so I want you to prove that, go strong to that. This is going to be awesome. This is going to be great. So we looked at the title for this show to start off the year on a positive light and look at education versus experience. It's going to be better for your career. We got to think about that. We got a lot of people out there, many, many years, different occupations, you know, myself included, who've tried different things and somehow it just didn't work out. Got some people who are looking to make a change because that this is going to be their breakthrough year. They've been doing the same thing for quite some time, and now they want to move into something different. Then you've got some people who are actually starting out fresh, whether they're fresh out of college, they just graduated high school, whether they're looking for something new and haven't experienced that college atmosphere yet. So we're going to talk about that. Education versus experience. What's better for your career? Now, after a while, we're going to have a special guest chime in with us to talk about some of the things that human resources departments look at, recruiters are looking at, the things that are going to better your career as a whole. Because I know you have questions. I may not have all the answers, but trust, I'm going to point you in the right direction, get you on track to make 2011 your best year ever. We all need to be held accountable, ladies and gentlemen. It starts right here. 5 days into the year, some of you all said you were going to the gym, and that lasted one day. For some of y'all, it probably didn't even happen at all. Trying to get your body right, trying to get your mind right, went back to church maybe New Year's Eve, but didn't show up Sunday morning. Understandable, things like that happen. But now, it's focused. We're in the middle of the week. Can't be weak. We need to stay strong and move forward. All rolling, all cracking. We're going to start tonight. Thank you all for timing in. If you've got your cell phones and your Blackberries, go ahead and text a friend and let them know tonight is going to be a really incredible night to listen to some great things that are going to be said. So I want to encourage all of you all to do that and stay focused this time around. No time for playing anymore, ladies and gentlemen. This is going to be your year. So we're going to take a look at what's going on with the economy. And you've seen it out there. Job market is tight. People are looking, they're scattering. Workers' comp, unemployment, about to run out. Got people panicking. They're moving all over the country looking for something new and something different. Not quite sure what they could find. But recently, don't know if you've been paying attention to the news, but CNN has reported there's about to be a major, major job increase all across America. What does that mean for you? It means for those of you all who are unemployed, here's your opportunity. For those of you all who are looking for a greater experience, here's your opportunity. You're going to fall into some of these categories and see what's going to work out best for you. So with the job situation as it is, what are you thinking about most? Is it what you've learned already as far as your education? Or is it the experience that you've had in the job market or doing something else on the side to get your hustle on to put you right where you need to be? Let's talk about that for a little bit, ladies and gentlemen. So kind of looking over with the news, each section of the country is going through different things. We know that in Florida, the weather's been kind of bad, unmistakably with cold weather. So the harvesting and agriculture is on a downturn. But that doesn't mean there's no jobs open on the East Coast, Florida. For example, I was reading today in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, shout out to all those in Atlanta, that got a lot of people out there that are looking to get hired on at Macy's. Macy's is about to hire. The market is really picking up. You know, on a lighter note, while we're talking about Macy's, talking about spending, talking about people who spend a lot of time doing a lot of miscellaneous things. Not to say they're really, really miscellaneous, but 100 years ago today, Kappa Alpha Psi made 100 years. So for those of you all who are watching on justin.tv/howwasyourweekend.com, also be aware that we send a big shout-out to the men of Kappa Alpha. Lord, I done dropped my cane. Sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen, but you know who you are. Happy birthday to you. And big shout-out to those who are chiming in on the blog talk as well in the chat room. You all know what's going on and what's happening. Big birthday shout outs as well to y'all men of red and white, crimson and cream. Anyway, getting back to the economy, I want to talk about that a little bit more and kind of get in tune with what's really going on. So we've got people out here looking for new jobs, new careers. So where's your focus been on? Have you checked all the online sources? Have you reached out to friends and families? Have you talked about who's going to be hiring, what's going to be the next big breakthrough to get you in? Well, let's look at that. Take a look at what you've been focused on. Now, in my days in college, one of the greatest things that I heard was a girl I was dating, her commencement was 1998, and I really didn't pay too much into what he was saying. But what I did hear was something very, very profound. The speaker, the commencement speaker, said that day and time, if you find something you like to do, you'll never work a day in your life. That stuck with me. I really thought that was really powerful. You know, even in college, not even knowing what I wanted to do when I graduated, but just those words really spoke a lot of life into me, and I never will forget that. Finding something that you like to do means that you'll never work a day in your life. In other words, it's not going to be hard. It's not going to be a challenge because you already enjoy doing this thing, and it's going to bring you money. Now, how many of us are out there doing that right now? Are you doing what you enjoy doing, or are you miserable in your day-to-day activities? Sunday night, early Monday morning, are you a little bit frustrated when it's time to get out of bed, or can you not wait until you get into the office or get into what your career is set for you to do? That's very key. That kind of goes back into more of the experience factor, really, because you have to look at this is what I enjoy doing, this is what I know about, and I'm ready to make this happen. So before we commit to battling on that, I know the phone lines are about to get out of control. 646-727-3279 is the call-in number, and I believe we have Mr. Dwayne Webb on the line that's going to chime in with us as well. Dwayne, are you with us?
Yes, I am. How are you doing this evening?
Good, my man. Happy New Year to you.
Thank you. Same to you and everyone out there that's listening.
Dwayne, this is going to be a powerful night, man. I know we're going to be talking about education versus experience. What's better for you? Those of you all don't know, Dwayne joined us in an earlier broadcast last year that was pretty powerful. You can check the archives. I'll tell you a little bit more about that later on. But before we even get the ball rolling here, Dwayne, give us a little bit of background of who you are and what you got going on for yourself.
Okay, great. Just a little bit about me. I've been in business for 7 years, and I'm an entrepreneur, and I work on the IT recruiting and staffing side of the house, where we look at doing IT solutions for application development, infrastructure, as well as technical support, and been in the Dallas market for the last 10 years, and very happy to be here this evening.
That's what's up, man. That's what's up. Now, in the last 10 years, and you heard me, I don't know if you heard me speak a little bit about that, but with the turn, which what's going on with the economy, there's a big shift. There's a lot of jobs that are out here hiring. And I don't know industries, different fields, because you said you're focusing, you focusing on IT. But with what's coming up, there's a lot of people that we're going to be tuning in and talking about this topic tonight, education or experience, what's better for your career. And what you do in your field, what do you find out of those two? What should it really make a difference, educational experience?
Well, I think it has to do a lot with demand. Typically, when there's a high peak or demand for a certain type of skill set, companies are more open to hiring someone who has a certain level of experience and may not have a certain level of education. So they look at it more of a what they call OJT, which is on-job training or on-job education in the sense. So depending on the level of position or the quantity, companies tend to be a lot more flexible with their hiring practices. But of course, with the economic change and the fact that the trending has gone in different directions with different markets, kind of it takes really having a little foresight and doing your homework. And then not to mention knowing your your region, basically. Like, let's use Dallas-Fort Worth as an example. It's just a matter of understanding who are all of the players, basically. What companies are in the city and what industries do they specialize in? And sometimes, depending on a certain degree or level of education, it can go across the board. But now what I'm seeing more than anything is I think there's more of a mixture when it comes to what companies are looking for. It's depending on, with a higher level position, they're absolutely looking for experience. But typically with those positions, a BA is usually the benchmark, and it could be almost anything, but more importantly is more of the specialized training or experience that you might have in a particular field. And I'm speaking IT right now. But what I have seen more than anything, especially, and this goes across the board, is the healthcare industry. With the regulations changing and the Healthcare Reform Act, that there tends to be trending to be a lot more opportunities on that side of the house. So I don't know if that's already been addressed or discussed, but it is. It's just a matter of kind of doing a little homework and understanding who are the players in your region, then really just diving in and figuring out where's the area need and does your expertise or your background coincide with what they're looking for.
Right. That's a good point that you bring up. We're going to talk about healthcare here in a minute. But you said something that's really key when you mentioned OJT, on-the-job training. Now, that's something that really can take effect as far as your true experience, because it sounds like from OJT you're going to be taught what they want you to know coming in. Am I pretty fair with that?
It is. It is. And actually, in certain industries, and with mine, there's certain type of positions to where they kind of prefer someone not to have as much industry knowledge, simply because they want to train you, they want to train you. They don't want you to bring in any of your bad habits or a different mindset.
Okay. Now, with that being said, I also want to kind of look at sometimes that could be an advantage more or less to the college students who are really coming out, because they can be pretty much well-prepped and well-groomed based on what that company is looking for, as compared to someone who may have had years and years of experience that may be used to doing things a certain way and can get caught up in some of the ways that they've done at their employment
It can definitely be a hazard when you're looking to do a couple of things. You're looking to transition to a new company or a new career within a certain type of industry. So I think when it comes to applicable experience, you may be able to find certain things or aspects about what you were doing in a completely different environment that can be applied to another company.
I'll leave that question open in the chat room also. Do you think that on-the-job training can really benefit those coming out, or do you think someone who's already been in that industry really has an advantage because they're going to use their experience coming in? So talk a little bit more about that. You think that's more along the lines of evening the playing fields? We talk about already having a previous mindset, previous education. Is that keeping it pretty balanced, or is it like more?
Well, of course. Well, nowadays, with the market being what it is, and there's such a huge amount of people who have the aptitude and attitude to work, it's just a matter of kind of where they are individually. If in fact you want to change industries and use what you have learned, or if you want to stay within your industry and continue to move forward, typically it's still is one and the same.
Okay. I can see that because in a previous life when I worked in sales, insurance sales actually, they pretty much wanted the sales background, the person who was more aggressive in their technique, the really go-getter that's going to bring somebody in, and they were going to be more adapted to teaching you the of how they wanted the company to bring you in. But as long as you had that sales mentality, that go-getter mentality, that aggressive nature on the phone, so to speak, they were willing to bring you in and teach you that, as opposed to someone who just graduated with their marketing degree and were going to be kind of wanting to do their own thing, to kind of want to be more creative but not really focusing in on what that company said that worked out best for them. I can definitely understand. Yeah.
Exactly.
I can
Go ahead.
Bring up your point.
I was going to say, because sometimes what companies look for, they look for folks who may have more tenure, basically because of that, what you're saying right there. If you're just getting in and you're overly ambitious and they know that, okay, you may only be in this role 6 to 8 months, or you're just going to be in this role until you find something else, they may shy away. They may shy away. They may look for someone who is more stable, more reliable, dependable, who actually has been in the, who may have 15, 20 years of experience doing something completely different.
You know what? I just got a text message, and I want to read this to the chat room, and I want to read this also to you too. It says, education is extremely important, but so is experience. The problem is, before you go in, before you gain the experience, many employers expect you to have an education. And the higher the education, or opportunities you will have to gain experience. I think they go hand in hand, and they think get an education, which would lead to better experiences. Pretty profound. I want to
That is absolutely profound and a very true statement. We all, most of us understand or must learn to understand that the benchmark is having some formal education. Without a degree, even nowadays, companies have the ability to turn an applicant away. So now it's almost absolutely expected to have some formal education. Now, whether you're a recent college grad or you graduated 10 years ago, 20 years ago, and you pursued your master's and PhD or whatever level of education you attained, absolutely. ODT is great because it's something that everyone will go through, period, unless it's a very specialized field. But, I definitely don't want to portray the message that it's not important, because it absolutely is important.
Absolutely. BlogTalkRadio.com/How Was Your Weekend was with the Z. The call-in number, ladies and gentlemen, 646-727-3279. We're on the line with Mr. Dwayne Webb here in Dallas, Texas, and we're talking about education versus experience. What's going to be better for your career? And right before I mentioned that, Dwayne, you mentioned something very key about being a degree. Now, is it true that the college grad, the college degree, at the new high school diploma, because people are looking for more educated, they want to bring in that with master's degrees, bachelor's, and even the master's degree, things of that nature? Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay. I was going to say, part of me wants to agree with you on that statement, but part of me wants to kind of disagree. But because I do, I think that there are very capable individuals out there who may not have had the luxury of going to college for a lot of different reasons or being able to further their education, but it doesn't mean that there's not a place for them, but there is.
Right.
But at the same token, if you have an idea of where you want to take your career, yes, the benchmark is having a bachelor's and sometimes even taking as far as a master's, but ultimately it boils down to the things that you don't see on paper.
And what does that mean exactly?
Okay. What I'm getting at is I think that more people than not, they're more focused on just strictly having an education and getting degrees to check a box, when in fact they're not as focused when it comes to their career and what exactly the direction they're going to take with it. Because I've had conversations with people say, all I need is just a degree to get a job. No, you actually need to know a few more things. And most time in college, they don't even prepare you for it. The simple things, interviewing skills, how to write a resume, how to actually follow up, and then certain etiquette that it requires to be successful in a corporate environment.
Right. Hey, that's real talk. Very real talk. I know when I was in college as well, one of the things that I only saw it one time, and I think the course actually came university marketing department, and they talked a little bit about some of the things that they were looking for in their employees, in their future employees. And it was a pretty good mix, man. I'll never forget this. I actually got pretty far along in the career path. I was doing some pretty cool things. I was where I needed a car. So I'm about to have a child on the way, and I needed some money. I didn't even smoke cigarettes. But Philip Morris was going to be in a position to pay me money. And good. I thought to myself, this might be a pretty good opportunity to grasp hold of. I wanted to get in more marketing. Have my own free will, because at the time, Miller Lite, Coffee Beer, they were all connected in craft, everything was all under one umbrella. I was going to be pretty to get my foot in the door on these. I could reach out, apartment, maybe the craft in, really get into the Miller Lite, because back then Miller Lite had the craziest commercials I'd ever seen. So I wanted to really. And this is one thing I'll never forget. I had about two or three different interviews. I think I pretty much had the thing locked. I mean, I had the job in the country I wanted to go, buy me with the company car, and hand me a pretty good chunk of change to college. Check this out, man. I asked one question in the interview, and this is something that you may want to be aware, people who are in the interview process, is when they ask you, do you have any final questions? I don't really know if they mean that or not, because I asked the question themselves. Of them, check this out. If you're selling cigarettes, hundreds of thousands of children and teenagers nationwide, your commercials telling you, don't smoke, encouraging people not to smoke, but yet you sell cigarettes, who is going to be your target market in the next 5 years? Probably not the best question to ask that type of company. So had I probably hushed up, I'd have probably been pushing cigarettes to this day. Something crazy that I really didn't want to do. Pay some money. That's intense to me, man. I don't know if you ever had anything like that. Hushed up an interview. That was something that just kind of shook me up, because I didn't even think that was a bad thing. They asked me if I wanted to know anything, if I had any more questions, so I just had to bring it up. So this is something that I want to bring up to the chat room as well. Those of you calling in, I see the phone lines are pretty steady. I'm going to get to the phone lines here in a minute, because this is something I want to know also. Should people allow the job market to really dictate where they're employed just based on who's hiring and who's not? Does that mean they shouldn't go after the job that they really want? What do you think about that?
Is that open to everyone, or you want me to answer that?
I'd like you to answer that from your perspective before I go to the phone lines.
Okay, I must have a bad connection. Repeat that question one more time to me.
Sure, yeah. The question that I asked was, should people allow the job market to dictate where they're going to be employed? In other words, just because this particular company is hiring and that's not what you want, but you need a job, I need to get hired there, or do I need to really pursue a job that's not hiring, that doesn't see me right now?
Well, now you realize that's a loaded question, right?
Absolutely. So you can handle that how you want. I'm going to address it in the chat room also, but I'm going to get to the phone lines here in a minute, but go ahead.
Okay, I'll be honest, because the first thing I think about it is, as long as I have bills and necessary things that I have to pay,
mm-hmm.
You have to make exceptions until you can do what you want. Prime example, I had the entrepreneurial spirit probably my entire life, but
okay.
I knew there were things that I need to understand about being an entrepreneur before I actually could do it. So I was then working in this industry, and I realized, you know what, I can do this myself, and damn it, I can do it better. So I used my time to gain all the necessary knowledge and information. And when it was time for me to get out there and do it, even if it wasn't the best time, I knew I was equipped to be successful. So whether it's an entrepreneurial endeavor or a career, a certain type of career that you want, what we have to understand is and really humble ourselves to a certain point, saying, okay, I'm not entitled to anything, but I know what I'm worth and I know what I want, but this is what I have to do until I can get it.
You know what? I'm going to agree with that in part. in part because this, and this is what this is why I want to agree with you. I'm going to agree with you on this aspect because yes, the bills have to get paid. You got to take care of your bills. You have to take care of your household, ladies and gentlemen. It's a must to do that. I agree with him on that aspect. One of the things that I do look at is this, and a lot of people may or may not agree with me on this, and I want you to chime in and give me your weight, because yes, you're going to pay your bills, but at the same time, there's a part of you that is maybe, in fact, be a little bit miserable, be a little bit depressed, and have that sense of wondering what if, because you didn't hold out or didn't wait because that door was closed and they told you that you couldn't do it. We're not hiring right now. Okay, no problem. But guess what? I'm still interested. I know I'm someone that could come in here and make this happen. So it's easy to stay content and stay in a position. I'm not saying that that's a bad job, but what I'm saying is this. If you stay in that thing long enough, you could be missing out on something that you would truly enjoy doing later on because you gave up because that door was closed. Here's a prime example. I actually knew a guy who stated that they wanted to get into, it's ironic that we're doing it this show, they wanted to get into radio. And they've constantly pursued, sir, we're not hiring right now, that's okay. And they continue to pursue that occupation every week, knocking on the door. Went to the office. Time, I know you weren't hiring last week. I just wanted to see if anything had opened up. I know you post positions on the internet, but I know that the opportunity is here for me, and I really want to grab a hold and be a part of this. Well, we don't have any openings right now. That's fine. They went on and did what they were going to do with their job, but at the same time still wanted to focus in. Do you have any internships available? Something I can come into the company and I can learn a little bit more about what's going on, what you do, and how I can be a part of this organization and make myself a part of your team. They began to see that. And the position, not really a position on the air opened up, but something along the lines opened up to where they were able to just get in the, so to speak. The opportunity opened up for them to work part-time, just doing some monitoring around with the what's the terminology I'm looking for? I can't quite sure. But the switchboards and things like that, got the opportunity to learn that. Slowly but surely stepped away from the job that they used to do following their career path. They slowly saw the door of radio opening up for them. Well, one day in particular, somebody who happened to be on the air just got sick, got ill for whatever reason. We don't know. They just got sick. Couldn't perform and get on the radio that night. Well, that other person had their opportunity right there in front of them, and it was presented to them to get into radio and do their calling because they had been sitting there, they had been watching the keyboards, they had been watching the switchboards, and they found the opportunity to, that presented themselves to say, hey, guess what? I know this information, I've been waiting for this opportunity, and I didn't give up just because their door was closed. That's something that's pretty unique. A lot of people won't step out and do that. End up just staying in that position. Not to say that that's a bad thing for the season, but you also want to realize this. Are you going to just stay there just because and not look to grow? Or are you going to take an advantage of when that position opens up? Even if in your current jobs and your current occupation, management positions opens up and you know that you can do your job a little bit better. You know, if you had the opportunity, well, if I was boss, I would do this. Well, if I was in management, I would do this. Here's your opportunity. May not have the experience, see firsthand what it takes in that position, and you know a little bit more. You need to carry that up in there and not necessarily let your paper or your degree or the lack thereof hold you back. So keep that in mind as you press forward, ladies and gentlemen, and my callers and my bloggers are gonna that's going to be very key for you and your future in heaven. Some of you may not agree with that. Look at the track record and the history of that. The evidence shows if you step into your calling, know what you're supposed to do, and you know what you're comfortable with doing, find something you like to do, and you'll never work a day in your life. It's part of building a career. Can you see where I'm coming from with that, Dwayne?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. What I kept thinking was it's about your level of motivation and your stick-to-itiveness because if it goes back to that old saying, nothing worth having comes easy. So if in fact you've made up your mind about what it is that you want to do, consider yourself fortunate, because there are so many people, and myself, I was one of them my senior year in college. I had no idea what I wanted to do, and I remember the best conversation I had with my dad, and it was simple. And he imparted just the most elementary advice, but it was so true. Get out there and you try things until you figure out what it is that you like, what you're good at, and what you want to do. Because we're so busy trying to feel like we need to be controlling about our life and how it and where, the direction that it takes, instead of just saying, okay, I don't have all the answers, but I'm humble enough to go out and find them.
See, that's really key. You have to have that opportunity and that door set up, because it's going to be your career. It's going to be your maybe training somebody else to do a job or doing that job yourself and getting out your career. You know, that's what we want to focus on. What's better for your career, your education, experience, a little bit of both? It's got to happen. It's got to happen for you, because this is your year. You said it. Facebook, I saw you. Twitter, I heard you. This is my year. This is my breakthrough. Well, we all know the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. You have to start somewhere, so I'm encouraging each and every one of us to start this year for their breakthrough to receive your career. And speaking of career, Dwayne, I also want to bring this out to your attention. I appreciate you're staying on the line with us today. I also want to get the callers involved here in a second, because I see the lines just are about to light up. 646 is the number, area code. 727-3279 is the call-in number. blogtalkradio.com/howwasyourweekend, was with a Z, is also for the chat room. And for those of you who are watching on the Internet, justin.tv/howwasyourweekend, also spelled was with a Z on was. So when we focus on the careers, let me bring this to your attention also. With people who work to jump into something that's a bit different, you know, companies are actually able to invest heavily on employee development. You mentioned OJT, but a lot of companies are not really able to offer that right now. So where is the loyalty to remain with one company as opposed to leaving for better opportunities? A lot of job hopping is happening because they open different doors that either somebody just couldn't pursue or couldn't fill, or they're looking for something bigger when the grass is trying to think the grass is greener on the other side. Now, in your profession, what you see in IT, do you see a lot of that happen, where a lot of people will stay in a position for a certain period of time and they'll move away, try to find something better to enhance their career, so to speak?
Absolutely. The one thing that you don't see that maybe our parents and grandparents kind of experienced was they worked for one company for their entire career, they retire, they had a pension and all that, because why? Companies invested in them. They invested in them. They said, you stay here, once you retire, you will be more than taken care of. What you see now is companies aren't investing long-term into their employees anymore. Why? Because whether it's greed or for whatever reason, I don't know, very few companies, there's only one that I can think of off the top of my head that really takes care of their employees, and that's Burlington Northern. They still have a pension. They still have great benefits. They take care of their employees very well. And there are probably a few others out there that I'm sure people can name, but the reason why you see people job hopping so much is it has a lot to do with the fact that companies aren't loyal to their employees. If there's a downturn, typically the people who put everything in place, the hardest working folks, are usually the first ones to go. So now what you see people, they're going to come and get as much experience, or from a technology standpoint, they're going to get the latest, greatest technology. They're going to slap it on their resume, and they're going to keep shopping it until the next project or the next opportunity comes, because they realize, more than anything, they're hired guns. They're hired for what they know and the level of expertise that they can bring to a company, because it's almost become one of those things where it's understood. And you always, from a technology standpoint, it does. It changes so rapidly. You can be within a company just so long as you're still educating yourself on the latest technologies and how you can apply it to your company. But at the same token, this could be all across the board. It doesn't really matter what the technology is. It could be in an engineering department. It could be in a marketing department. In marketing, you have to find different ways to market your product. You need to stay on top of that. So everything is continually changing. So it kind of coincides with the whole education piece. Yes, you will continually be educated, whether it's college educated or training or whatever, self-training, self-help, in order to become more appealing, not only to get a job or to stay where you are and show more added benefit, because what's happening now, they're requiring employees to do 2 and 3 different job functions now. Why? Because they're cheap. They don't want to pay the money. So what they do is they're raising the level of productivity of the people that they have.
Okay. You know what? I want to ask something about that. Mention that. Being cheap, right? Being thrifty, a lot of companies are holding back. So what about the companies? What about the ones who still offer, when people want to go back to school and further their careers and get a little bit more education, let's say they have their bachelor's degree, but they want to get their master's in that field, and the company is willing to reimburse them on the back end. Do you see a lot of that out there right now?
Yeah,
is that really nowadays without there being any loyalty within the company?
Well, that is still, of course, because I think with any smart company that is doing business on a large scale, it's absolutely important to have initiatives like that. And believe it or not, there are still plenty that actually do.
Okay.
And simply because that is one way for them to not only help themselves, but to build a certain level of loyalty with their employees. And as a matter of fact, I had a conversation about this, and some companies, what they're doing now to even make sure that you don't just take the money or and run per se and go somewhere else with what you've learned, they're requiring now for commitment. They want to know that you're going to stay for a year, 2 years after you complete your degree.
Okay.
So they're finding ways to say, okay, well, we're going to put this money in you, but you're not about to leave.
So they can't fire you?
Well, I mean, of course they fire you. That's a done deal. I mean, that goes without saying. But what you're hoping is that's not what's going to happen after they put money in you. But it does. It still does happen, though. It still does, based on the particular company, the particular industry, and stock, and what the companies value that.
Indeed. That's really key, because that's something that you think about, but you don't know if it's something that if it's really worth it. If somebody wants to further their career with that company and then run the risk of them not staying with that company for a long period of time, but they still want to further their education. So I want to chime in on that. Hold that thought, man. We're gonna come back to that here in just a little bit. 646-727-3279. Dwayne, we mentioned that we opened the phone lines up throughout the country. You and I are both here in Texas. And I want to bring the phone lines open to California, where Dawn is on the line, and I know Dawn's been patiently waiting. Dawn, are you there?
I'm here.
Happy New Year to you, and welcome back to the Online Happy Hour.
Happy New Year.
We're talking tonight about education versus experience, what's better for your career. And briefly, Dwayne, Dawn, hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes,
okay.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Just wanted to get your input, Dawn, on what we've been talking about. I think one has more weight than the other when it comes to education, opposed to what's better for someone's career?
I guess it depends a little bit whether or not you are, how specific you are within your career. But my personal opinion, I always feel that most definitely having an education to back up any experience is a necessity. If you don't have an education, there are going to be a lot of opportunities that won't really be an option for you, no matter how much experience you have. So I much rather have those options than to have those options not be afforded to me. So I feel that, you know, yeah, getting the education regardless of what is always going to be a benefit to you.
Education. Now, this is something key here when you mention about education. Let's talk about that. Let's say someone has gone to college, gotten their information, and they feel that, okay, now I got my degree, I got my education in, I don't know, biology. They end up getting employed as either a school teacher or a claims adjuster. So is that education really weighing a strong factor in what they're doing?
It depends. I mean, as we look at what the economic climate is now, you know, the original plan, you may have to go with plan B and, you know, really get into what it is that you wanted to do. It may take you longer because, you know, I heard the term where companies are being cheap. So, you know, you have a lot of downsizing. Companies are having to get, you know, financially smart and identify, you know, how is it that we're going to be able to sustain ourselves. So, yeah, they're leveraging employees. They're having people do more than they used to. You're wearing more hats, you know, at your job than you used to. And that means that, yeah, that person coming out of school, guess what? There's not a hat for you. So, yeah, you're going to want to, you know, pick up whatever it is that you can in the meantime. And by having that education, what you're doing may be related to what you got your degree in. It may not be, but as you are trying to get into what it is that you want to do, you're going to realize that ultimately, you know, the education is probably going to serve you in the long run.
Like that. Like that. Good answer. Dwayne, what do you think about that?
No, I agree. Absolutely. Everything she said is spot on when it comes to education. Just like with anything else, in order to sometime even sit at the table, you have to have your minimum requirements met. And with it being in a very competitive market, a degree or some form of education is 9 times out of 10 required.
Okay. Okay. Keep in mind, Dawn, please stay on the line. We're going to come back to you in a little bit. But, Dwayne, we keep it real here, man. I know you've chimed in once before in some of the earlier topics, but right about now we're going to continue staying on the phone line. The blog room is out of control. I see the people that are often in there, and I definitely appreciate the chat room being what it is tonight, and also our viewers on Justin.tv as well. But let's go ahead and just continue to stay real with the topic itself and allow the realness to speak their mind. We have Ms. Oatmeal Brown with the Realness 101 coming on the line right now. Ms. Oatmeal, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you, too.
Dwayne, please say hello.
Hello?
Dwayne, you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hello, how are you?
I'm doing fine, and you?
Doing well, doing well. Thank you.
Got a lot of service providers going on right now. But our topic tonight is education versus experience. What's better for your career? And we're pretty much in the thick of things right now, Ms. Oatmeal. So kind of give us a little bit about what you heard and what your thoughts are about this topic.
Well, me personally, I feel that education is very important, just like Don spoke on from California. Education will back you. It may not carry you because you have to continue to educate yourself. You have to continue to evolve. Just because you go to a school, go to college and get a bachelor's degree doesn't mean that you stop there. You have to keep on pushing. And like she said, you know, maybe what you went to school for, what you got your degree in, wasn't available to you at the time. So you have to, you know, accept a position or, you know, take on a career that wasn't in the direction that you were going in, but you may get into that career and, you know, become a key asset in that field as well. And if what you went to school for is something that you're passionate about, you still seek out for that career opportunity and try to look for some type of open door some way. Try to keep yourself still in the loop of things. Because you can go to school and you can have a position for 10 years and then, you know, or 15 years, and then the economy takes a turn, like it did, you know, 2 years ago, and then you're out of luck if you lose your job and you have no other experience and nothing else. So, you know, personally, I feel that even if you do have a degree in one area, you should always, always keep your wheels churning to do something else. You know, remain, keep yourself knowledgeable of trying to take on something else as a backup or something else that you may be into or interested in. The people that have had the experience that I've worked with and didn't have the education, you know, companies can change their policies and procedures and their guidelines at any time. So you have these people who are managers and supervisors. They've been working at these companies since they were 18 years old. Then the company comes along and says, well, you got to have a degree to have this position. Then those people are either forced out of their position or they might give them the opportunity to go take classes and go to school. So, I mean, personally, I feel like having the education first, they really can't, you know, they can't tell you no. They can't let you go unless they want to. But when it comes to a scenario like that, the education will back you.
Okay. Hey, that's keeping it real. That's keeping it real 100%. I appreciate that. Hold the line real quick. I want to get Mr. Dwayne Webb's perception on that before I come back to Ms. Oatmeal with another question. Dwayne, what are your thoughts?
Can't dispute that. That's indisputable right there. Everything what she was saying is spot on because it does happen. And ultimately, the point that I like most was the fact that even when you're doing something, even if it's not in your field, you still should continually be learning. Never stop acquiring knowledge or giving up what it is that you really want to do. Because I have a friend of mine who was in the IT industry and did a complete career change and became a nurse. So I do. I think that by continually moving forward and knowing who you are and what it is you want, you'll still go in the direction that's positive and will lead to some level of enjoyment.
Okay. Very good. Very good. I'm glad we're all can kind of touch and agree similar on this subject, but I also want to bring up something and play a little bit of devil's advocate here. What about, and I want to kind of go back out to California, we'll work our way back to the east on this one also, and say, what about the employee who has the experience, who has the education? Let's say he's been with the company for quite some period of time, and their ways, and like Ms. Oatmeal said, the values and things can be changing with the time. And they may not be so relentless to change, even though that they have the experience and the education already in place. So it's easier to bring in someone new that they could just already mold and say, hey, you know what, we need someone to come in this way, as a part of the old dog who's been there and they got it, but they're more conditioned to the way things used to be. So who's going to have an advantage in that situation? Dawn, are you there?
In that situation, it's going to be the person who's most flexible and adaptable. A lot of times what happens with those companies that are looking to make change, we talked about the people who have the experience and they've been there. A lot of times those are the people who are making, you know, the higher salaries, the higher hourly rates. So sometimes those are the ones that they're gunning to get rid of because financially it's going to, you know, be a positive thing for the company with the bottom line.
Okay.
That's why sometimes they'll go in and they'll change and they'll say, okay, well, this person here or this position now requires that you have a degree. Well, if you've been in that position for 10, 15 years, it might be an industry or a field where the education or the degrees was not commonplace, that's an easy way for them to get the higher paid people out. Now, if you have your degree, that's a way to make sure, you know, you have your foothold. Okay, you know what? I have the 10, 15 years experience and I have the degree. Now what? They're going to have to come at you a different way. Again, as a person, as an individual, as an employee, you need to be flexible. If the company's trying to change gears, change focus, then you need to make sure that you're in line with that if you want to maintain your position. If they're wanting to change and you don't want to change with them, then, yeah, you're going to end up on the outside. Degree, experience, it doesn't matter. If you're not, you know, working with within the system, you can still find yourself on the outside.
Hold the line 1 second. I'm going to come to Ms. O'Meal real quick and get her perspective on what we're discussing with that.
Well, I don't feel that you should put your career in the company's hands. I don't think you should be that confident in these companies. I mean, yes, they have offered you a career opportunity. Yes, you may have been there for 10 years, but, I mean, if you know the game, if you know corporate America, then you know that anything can happen at any time. That should be your mindset, and you should always have or try to create some type of backup plan. You know, me, I've been in financial servicing for 11 years. That's not what I have my degree in. I have my degree in mass communications. I still, you know, I'm heavily involved in media outside of my 8-to-5. But at my 8-to-5, because the industry has taken so many turns, I've had to go back to doing something that I used to do. But if I never, you know, moved around within the company that I was at, I would have never had that experience. So you should always continue to evolve in your career. And you should keep your career in your hands. Yes, you have to follow what you need to do in corporate America, but at the same time, you know, be an entrepreneur at something, because you may have to fall back on that. Pick up another trade. You don't even have to go to school. I mean, you can get certified in something. You know, start doing something that you enjoy or something that, you know, you can learn on the side, because you may have to use that. You may have to pick that up. You know, I honestly don't feel that you should put your career in the company's hands like that. I mean, we've witnessed, you know, over the past 2 years, what can happen if you fully put everything into that and don't have a backup plan.
That's real. That's real. Dwayne, your thoughts?
All I keep thinking is no complacency in corporate America. None. Simply because it is ever-changing. Nothing is guaranteed. You absolutely need to be prepared to do other things within your company, within a certain industry, or for personal reasons. So everything that the lady said was absolutely great and right on, and I agree with them fully.
Okay. Now, from the perspective of those who are hiring right now, and a lot of people are out there wondering, okay, there's about to be a shift. Jobs are about to open up. It may not be the job that I'm looking for, but there's something out there. Those who are unemployed or those who are just looking to maybe try to see if the grass is greener on the other side, start the year off something fresh and new. What's going to be better for your career? Your education, based on what you know and what you've been through, or your experience, based on what you've already seen and what you know how to put into place? So we're going to talk about that as it looks on paper. And your resume is going to speak volumes about that, ladies and gentlemen. This is something that a lot of people often wonder about when it's time to start that new career and get their foot in the door. Where are we looking? Who's actually doing the hiring, and who's going to be looking at my resume? Because that's a reflection of who I am on paper. So these are some of the keys that we can look at. And I know the ladies can probably adjust to this, and also you, Dwayne, that can chime in with this also, that number one, when you're doing your resume, you're getting it out there on the Career Builder or the Monster, or handing it to that HR person, or even handing it to that admin assistant, one of the golden rules about your resume, which you may want to pay attention to, is don't lie about what you've already done. I think that's very key. Now, Dwayne can probably attest to that because of the field that he's in the IT personnel. That's something that you just can't allow to slide by and say, yes, I have knowledge in this field, I can program Pascal, or I can, you know, go a whole different direction and do a Lotus or an what's the word I'm looking for, an Oracle program, when you have no idea even how to spell the word Oracle. That's intent. And I don't think that a lot of people tend to do that. They'll want to say that they've done something just getting their foot in the door. Wayne, can you see how that could be a hindrance?
No, it absolutely is a hindrance. I understand when it comes to resume, you want to make it as pretty and as fluid as possible when it comes to the terminology. But in a technical field or in technical type opportunities, it will be verified. It will absolutely be verified via the phone, via reference checks, and interviews. So I always say, do yourself a disservice if you embellish on your resume. However, it's good to know something about the job. Say if you see a job description and you know your resume or your skill set kind of coincides with this particular job, then you might fashion some of the wording of your resume and put some key words that may not be on it in order to have it reviewed. But that's not embellishing. It's just a matter of understanding from a technology or any type of job, understanding what the actual job entails. So if you're very specific about certain areas, certain companies, or certain opportunities that you're interested in, then it always is more helpful to do basically your research, do your due diligence about the job and the company. And then when you do your resume, fashion it in a sense, or even the cover letter, to speak to the particular job.
Cover letter gets to be overrated. Tell our bloggers and our listeners just exactly what the cover letter is for and what it does. A lot of people tend not to use that. They've gotten away from that cover letter aspect.
Well, I think when it comes to a cover letter, yes, some people say it's overrated, but for me personally, when I'm reviewing and looking at resumes, it shows to me that someone actually has done a little research, they know a little bit about the job position, and they're actually saying the things that speak directly to the position that's not on their resume, because typically resumes are usually more cut and dry. You talk about the current job that you, or the job that you had and the experience that you had, and a cover letter kind of just brings all that to light. And it doesn't have to be a top-to-bottom five-paragraph cover letter. It can all be said simply in 3 to 5 sentences, very direct and succinct, speaking directly to a job. So some agree with it, some don't care for it, but the one thing personally I'd rather see is an excellent cover letter and 1.5, maybe 2 pages tops. If you can get it all on one, great, but no more than 2-page resume. People, if the experience that you have correlates to that job and it's on page 3 or 5, it may not even get that far. They'll be like, I don't see why this person is even is interested in this job. I don't see it. Why? Because they have so many resumes and they want to see it quickly. You want it to jump out. You want it to jump off the page.
So you're telling me and you're telling our listeners that their experience in all 13 or 11 jobs that they've had in the past 15 years isn't going to speak volumes as part of their experience?
Well, I think it's all relevant, but the most important thing is understanding what you're dealing with in the market. When you have folks, I say take a step back and look at it from the hiring manager or the group that's actually looking to bring someone in. Typically, it's one person, the two people, maybe 3 tops, who are screening resumes initially. So for them, for each position, I've heard of positions being responded to where there's 1,500 applicants. Think about it. You have that many resumes. They're not reading them from top to bottom. They're skimming. They're looking for keywords.
Okay.
And for those that understand what the job is, if they're, because I do, I think it's good to put your resume on the monsters and all of the search engines, because you have recruiters who are going to search you out. But ultimately, they're doing the same things. They're going to look at the first couple of pages, and they're going to look quickly. They're going to look for things that jump out when it comes to technology or experience, or sometimes it might even be the company you work for, that they know if you worked here, then there are certain skills that are applicable with us. So those are the things when I say do your due diligence, if you are actually looking as opposed to waiting for someone to call you, if you're actively looking, then definitely know your audience, know what the job description is, know your skills, and put them as close to the top as possible. I've met people and interviewed folks who have 15 or 20 years of experience, but when I look at their resume, it's like, well, whoa, I didn't realize you were doing this back here. And then just for that reason, they understand that if I had to find their experience on another page or somewhere far down, then they probably wouldn't have got the interview in the first place.
Wow. Wow, you bring up a good point. You bring up a good point. Now, Ms. O'Mill, you kind of heard what Dwayne had to say about that. So as far as where the resume goes, and I know you're 11 years in your field, shouldn't people really take the time to really create the image that they want displayed on that resume so you can see exactly what you need, what you want in a very short window of time, pretty much like he was saying? Would you agree with that?
Yes, I totally agree. I mean, who wants to go back to your first job? You know, you want to have all your skill sets at the top and, you know, what most relates to what it is that you're interviewing for. You must do your research. I mean, you don't want to have something that's totally off the wall and then they're looking for, you know, what is the commonality in your last position to the position that you're interviewing for. I mean, that's like a no-brainer, but yes, some people still just, hey, I want to apply to this position. This looks good, but, you know, it doesn't match their skill sets or how they have it worded on their resume, because you can word it where it can relate to the job description, because it may not be exact. You may not have done the exact thing, you know, but if you've done, for example, if you've done some type of reporting, but they want you to run reports, then you need to, you know, be specific on what kind of reporting that you've done, or you've done some reporting before.
Exactly. And to kind of go along with what she is saying, what you see now, especially for those who have a lot of experience, how they do it and how you're able to put it all on a page or two pages, you just format it differently, where you have a skills, kind of like a skills or a summary of technologies or experience when it comes to certain applications, certain kind of keywords that you know are important to do certain jobs. So nowadays, you don't necessarily have to go and say, I worked at XYZ company, and this is what I did on a day-to-day basis. Whereas you might have used certain technologies or certain things that the other company that is looking to hire are looking to utilize. For example, they might be looking for someone who's familiar with Lawson, and Lawson is a certain application that few people have had experience with. So you put that up there in the skills section, and that covers everything.
Right.
So that's how you get a lot of your information in, because no one wants to feel that they have to be stifled on a certain amount of pages or a certain amount of wording, but at the same token, you have to be aware of who and what's going on and how much exposure it's going to get based on the size.
Okay. Now, taking it back out to California with Dawn, I want to kind of see, because with the job market a little bit different as we vary throughout the country, you know, what are some of the things and some of the companies that you may have recognized that are out there, or some of the industries that you've been a part of that you've noticed where your resume, the look of your resume really does take prevalence in getting in that?
I would say, I think it's all industries. The look of your resume is going to speak volumes about you before you even get a chance to talk. Having the cover letter, it might not be something that, you know, you want to take the time to do or you really think is important, but you don't know who that hiring manager is, that human resource manager is, that's going to be looking at your package. They may prefer the cover letter. They may, you know, not look at resumes that don't have cover letters. They may feel that this is somebody who's not really interested in the position because we asked for a cover letter and I didn't get a cover letter. Or they may just be looking for some quick, you know, skim over the cover letter, see the key points. Okay, you know what, this one goes into the review pile. So most definitely having the cover letter is going to, I think, help you any more than it could ever hurt you. It is another way for you to be able to highlight some information. It might be experience that you have from 5 years ago, but you have that experience, and it might be the way that your resume is set up. It might be on page two. So the cover letter is a way for you to really highlight how you really apply for your skills and make you a valuable applicant in that position. But the way that your resume looks, I don't care what industry it is, if you haven't put the time into it, it's not going to get looked at.
And to even echo that even a step further is, I've seen how sometimes people get really creative with their resumes. And I know this isn't anything new, but I don't see it as much as you think, as I thought I would, is people actually put like a little small snapshot photo on there, so you put a name with a face and all that, just something to kind of to stick to make people remember who you are.
Is that really a benefit to do that, to put your picture on the resume? How does that work? I've never seen that.
I would say sometimes, like me myself, I'm gonna let it be on the merit of my work. I couldn't do it.
I think it depends on the industry. I think it really depends on the industry. If you're in one of those industries where they're looking for energetic, outgoing people, I mean, the fact that you've even put your picture on there in that type of work may be the difference in not having your picture on there. I think it just really depends situation to situation, maybe even by what the job posting was. I mean, that's going to tell you a lot about the company and about the position and how you need to do your resume. Before, when I've been in the job market, you know, a lot of times people have a cover letter and it's just generic and it goes for every, you know, resume that they submit. You need to customize your cover letter for every position. And nowadays, really, you may have to go in and reformat your resume for the position, because I think that job posting is going to tell you a lot about the job. It's going to tell you a lot about the company. And you need to make sure that that information that they've shared in their posting is reflected in the information that you present to them about yourself.
Absolutely. And that's the thing, I'm on the IT side, so it's one of those businesses where it's definitely not intensive like that, but still, when it's so competitive, sometimes folks are just trying to think outside of the box to be able to bring some sort of attention to their resume. It could have been a resume that could have been average, but because someone just took a step and went a little bit further, it makes you actually look at the resume, because it's just like, for me, whenever I get those, I'm compelled to look at it.
Now, does that mean it's going to stand out and have more volumes over someone else just because of what's on the working? Get them in the door a little bit faster than someone who may have had a good interview?
No, we're just talking about from the standpoint of even reviewing a resume. So if you're going through 100 resumes and five of them have photos or just something that stands out, it kind of makes you look a little bit more at the wording. So maybe I'll read a little bit more about this resume just because someone was creative enough and thought a little outside the box that, okay, it deserves a little bit more attention maybe. Not to say that person will get a job, but it does kind of at least give that particular resume a little bit more exposure than someone else's.
Real talk. Ladies and gentlemen, we are talking about education versus experience here on the Online Happy Hour, part of howisyourweekend.com. For those of you all who need to call in and chime into the show, the number is 646-727-3279. Blog room is out of control today. We have a lot of people who are in the blog room listening very attentively, and also those on justin.tv/howwasyourweekend as well. I want to bring into the fact that we're talking about education versus experience, what's better for your career. A lot of people want to focus in on the money aspect. Where am I really going to see a lot of dollars come into play? And this is something that I wanted to bring up also when we mentioned about the money. know, the top five highest professions here in the United States, and I can kind of break that down real quick as we kind of move through the show. Number one, the number one paying job here in the United States being anesthesiologist. Aside from the athletes and the celebrities like that, we're talking about in a career. Anesthesiology pays somewhere roughly around between $290,000 a year. If you're looking for money and you want to know where can I make some good money in a career, that may be something to take a look at. Also, a general surgeon may make between $250,000 and an average $412,000 a year. Also, an emergency room physician, which makes roughly between $250,000 and $360,000 a year, $100,000 that is. An obstetrician or a gynecologist, very interesting profession, makes between $210,000 and $300,000 a year. But we're looking at psychiatrists, $185,000, $270,000 a year. So these are some of the most highest paying jobs in the United States. You also want to look at the fact that what do all these professions have in common aside from them being six-figure incomes? They're all in a position of helping people, I find very, very unique. And also what Dwayne mentioned earlier in the broadcast, you know, healthcare. That's something that is very strong. And some of the best professions you want to focus on and look into, the top five professions in the United States, and this is all based on CNN.com as well, software architects. I know Dwayne can probably relate to that. He may see a lot of these physical or physician assistants, management consultants, physical therapists, and the environmental engineer. So if you're setting your sights on high and big money, you may want to look into these fields and see if that's something that you set your career mindset to really focus and achieve on. So I'm thinking that this is a really good topic. I think it's a really good show. Now, before I kind of get into some other aspects of this, real quick, you know, Dawn, what would you suggest or what would you say to someone who's looking for a change in their lifestyle, a change in their career, and maybe wanted to do something to encourage more about education? Would you encourage more about their experience? From what you've seen and what you've heard tonight, so kind of give us a brief snapshot of what kind of input you would give to someone.
Well, it would be to look at what it is that they want to do and what is the industry standard and norm requirements for getting into that field. Looking into the educational side of it, one of the things that people forget about in ways to gain experience outside of your 9-to-5 is volunteering. You can volunteer and gain experience just the same as going to work every day and getting a paycheck. So in your free time, if that's something that you're interested in, you have a passion for, if you can find an organization to volunteer for, you can gain that experience that can then in turn help you get that paying job that you want. So it's the whole gamut. But as we've all agreed earlier, you know, the education is something that is going to kind of help you on that backup plan.
Thank you so much for your insight out there in California. Our California listeners chime in on a regular basis. Ms. Oatmeal Brown with the Realness 101, what input would you give to someone based on what you've heard tonight or your and in your own personal career as well?
It would be the same. I mean, the same things that I've already expressed. You know, you have to invest in yourself, and you have to take care of yourself. You have to, you know, make sure you're well-educated, you know, continue to seek wisdom, continue to learn, you know, on about your passion, whatever your passion is, continue to learn with that and be open to learning something else. You know, there's only so many people that, you know, get one job and stay on it in these days and times, you know, stay on it for, you know, 20, 29 years. You know, that in this day and time, that few and far in between. I mean, if you have your own business, maybe you do it. You know, but to get to even having your own business, you have to, you know, learn and experience what business is about. you know. So definitely, you know, continue to educate yourself, even if you have a bachelor's, even if you have a master's. I mean, because you can have all those things, those BAs, the MBAs, and all those things behind your name, and then end up with not having a career in it or not having a job. So you still have to think in the long term and in the long run and outside of the box with your career and your goals and things that you might be passionate about.
That's real talk. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to be aware, Ms. Oatmeal Brown comes with the realness every day, and she's up so and chimed in quite often. I want you to also check her out on Facebook as well if you want to reach out and just look at some of the things that she's had to say on Realness 101 on Facebook. Outstanding page. I definitely encourage you to take some time to go there and reach out to that. And my man Dwayne has been on the line. He's been hanging tough, and he's been with us throughout the show. Kind of give us a little bit of input about your perspective, man, and what has been going on and what you see in your industry and what encouraging things to provide someone who's looking to make that career change or needs a little bit of insight on that resume as well.
Well, the first thing I can say is there is no place for fear. Do not be afraid to make a change, because I think so many of us, we are complacent, we're okay, we find reasons to justify why we stand and take less. So whatever it is, regardless, whatever your motivation is, whether it's I want to make more money, I want to do something that affects a positive change, whether it's for people, your individual community, or your family, whatever your motivation is, let that be the reason or the motivating factor to help you move forward. And I'll say this, even from an entrepreneurial standpoint, the level of education, it doesn't stop. You have to continually learn. You have to continually stay on top of your industry and be prepared for the trending, because things always change. Things always change. So for those that are reluctant to change, the first thing that they have to do is kind of get past that, because there is a level of fear and angst when you're doing something that you have no idea how it's going to end.
I applaud that, my man. That's real talk. Ladies and gentlemen, we keep it here, and we keep it hot, and we keep it fresh, and we keep it live. This has been an awesome show. Mr. Dwayne Webb has come with it. Dawn is called from California, and Ms. Oatmeal Brown with the Realness 101 has chimed in as well. So just kind of let me put my words into it also, because, you know, especially with the way the job market is, a lot of jobs are taking a shift. A lot of companies are doing some hiring. But you want to take into consideration, if you're in a position and you're looking for something to do that's different, something that's going to better your career, why not do what it is that you've said in your mindset that you've always wanted to do? Become who the person that you said that you could want to be. I'm pretty sure as a little kid you didn't grow up and say, you know what, I can't wait to work for this other company and make them lots of money. The way the economy is going, and a lot of companies are in a position where they're allowing people to work from home, another way of saying that we can't afford to be in a location. Job market is damaged out of living in their homes. So it's not to say that it won't happen to you in your business to where they have to send you out because they can't afford you. So take the time in this transition to think about what it is that you've always wanted to do. If money wasn't the issue, because if the money isn't there where you want it to be right now, money shouldn't be the issue. Go out and obtain what it is that you said in your heart and what was put in you that you said you could be. Find that in yourself. Know what you were called to do and step out into your calling, but your purpose says that how to do. So it can be hard. A lot of people are afraid, like what Dwayne said with the fear factor. Fear is just the false evidence about reality. You don't know unless you step out in faith that thing. A lot of people who've known me have known me from working in corporate America, stepping out. Hey, knowing this Blog Talk Radio show could be something of value. Now, allows me in a subtle way to give back and figure out what makes me a better father, because the questions that I'm asking back to my own son. Find out what it is that you were required to do and what you want to do so you can achieve that. That in itself will allow you to be what you were designed to be, called to do. I encourage you to do that. I encourage you to take that step forward today, starting right now. Get online and find that position. Get online and find the materials that are going to better suit you. Get up in a position to do what's going to feel good for you. Your dreams come true. So before we even end that segment and before we move on to the next chapter, I want you to be aware of Dallas, Texas, powerful week. Coming weekend, Brooklyn's Jazz Cafe, we're going to have the online happy hour performing, part of what of How Was Your Weekend is put together. The roundtable discussion that's based on the up-and-coming book that has been written, Second Place Women Who Come In First. So we're going to be discussing one chapter out of this book and as a part of a roundtable. So I encourage you, Dallas, Texas, to come on out and have a good time and enjoy yourself. Listen to some great music. Have some good food. Be entertained and enlightened by the roundtable topic, and hear more about the book, Second Place Women Who Come In First. It's going to be hot. Stay tuned for future events that we're going to be posting on Facebook and also at howwasyourweekend.com. Stay in tune. If you need to learn more about what Mr. Dwayne Webb is doing, go to the Blog Talk Radio page and click on the link that talks about Exile and his company and get an idea of what he's able to do and reach out to him as well. Also, follow Ms. Oatmeal Brown out on Realness 101 as well. So, special shout out to the men of Kappa Alpha. You know who you are, Kappa Alpha Psi. And I want to stay strong and stay committed to moving in excellence this year. We're going to provide you with some great and fantastic shows. So, as we wrap up this show today, I want to thank the callers who chimed in. I want to thank the people who are on the phone line. I want to thank the viewers on justin.tv/howwasyourweekend, and also the people in the chat room at Blog Talk Radio as well. Because of you, like I mentioned, the show gets better each and every week. I want you to do something for me. Next week, be going forward, if you like, go hit us up and let us know your thoughts. Click on and post your review about this show. Let us know what you liked about the show, because we need to hear from you. So be ready to tune in. We're going to come with real talk next Wednesday as we come at you with the realness, come at you with the strength and the truth about building your relationship and your marriage. Marriage is just a mirage if I am not in it. So think about that topic as we move forward to next week. On behalf of my co-host, Mr. Ricky Williams, on behalf of the team, on behalf of myself, my name is Andy Brown. Good night to my frat, go mob to my family, and we gone. Good night.